Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow. And hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello,
Leo. How goes
hello,
it tonight?
Hello, Phil. It goes good. Yeah. Maya Angelou. I'm all excited.
I know. You know, I was uploading the poems for tonight, and I'm sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden I start tearing. There's something that Maya Angelou always touched my heart. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the raw honesty of her poetry. You know,
yeah.
She was just that good at it. So I have to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, when Pam had told me that today was her birthday and that you were a favorite, she was a favorite of yours, and that maybe you would want
mm-hmm.
to do a show, I was like, take it. You know, if you can do it justice, go for it. You know, I think she's wonderful. So great options for a show tonight. And just so you know, we have Laurent with us. And then I'm going to kick it over to you, Naomi, and you can tell us all about the contest. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party.
Thank you, Jean.
Hi,
good evening. How are you? Hello, Naomi. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Laurent. Hey, Laurent.
Happy birthday, Pam.
The show.
30 years young, huh?
It's your birthday, isn't it?
No,
it's not.
No, it's
day.
No, it's Maya Angelou's birthday.
Oh, I thought Jean said it was your birthday. I beg your pardon.
No,
well, belated birthday to you anyhow.
But thank you anyway.
Okay, so you got ahead of the game for next time. Tell us all about it, Naomi.
So Maya Angelou, oh my gracious, you know, what a great woman. And, you know, she was a poet, a dancer, a singer, an activist, a scholar. a world famous author and best known for her unique pioneering autobiographical writing style. Born April 4th, 1928, in St. Louis, Missouri. And, you know, she had a tumultuous childhood, went through her parents' divorce, was, you know, flowing back and forth between Missouri and Arkansas and even California for a while because, you know, between her mother's place and her grandmother's place. And, yeah, and she was raped at the age of seven by her mother's boyfriend, who was later jailed and then killed when released from jail. And Maya, you know, she believed that because of her confession, that caused the man's death because he was killed. And she went mute for 6 years, right into her teenage years, when she, as she lived with her grandmother in Arkansas. And, yeah, and she finally made it out of it, you know, started to write a lot. She was inspired a lot by Shakespeare and Poe. And she even memorized a lot of Shakespeare and Poe's work. And, yeah, and she was a real go-getter because, you know, at the age of 15, she applied for the job of a streetcar conductor in San Francisco. And she was denied and denied and then denied because of her race, because of her sex. And, but she kept on going back and going back and going back, and they got so fed up with seeing her that they finally employed her. So she became the first African-American woman to work as a streetcar conductor in San Francisco. And then later, well, she went back to school. She had a child, her only child, a boy, Clyde Bailey Johnson. And then she got married to Tosh Angelus, who she took his name, part of his name. That's where the Angelou comes from. And, yeah, so she was quite a woman. She worked for the civil rights movement, you know. And in 1969, she published her first work, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, an autobiography of her early life, like I wrote on the board in the topic room, you know, was a tale of her personal strength, childhood trauma, and racism. And it won the, it was nominated for the National Book Award. And, yeah, and then after that, she wrote six more biographies. And, yeah, she even won the Pulitzer Prize nominated, you know, Just Drink Me a Drink of Water Before I Die, as well as several essay collections. And she won a Grammy for her writing on The Pulse of the Morning. Yeah, so what a great woman. And, you know, they in 2015, they had a coin out in the U.S., no, a stamp out with her image that looked a little, you know, I don't think it looked quite like her, but, you know, looked a little bit, well, it was to Maya Angelou. And, they made a mistake. They wrote the wrong quote on the stamp, on the postal stamp. It was supposed to be a quote by Maya Angelou, but it was originally a quote by Joan Walsh Ugland. And, yeah, and just to finish, well, in 2011, President Barack Obama awarded Angelou the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the country's highest civilian honor. It was a fitting recognition for Angelou's remarkable and inspiring career in the arts. So, wow, she had quite a life. And, you know, she played in different plays. She sang. She even sold albums. So, you know, what, and she danced, too. She was a dancer. So, I mean, you know, what a woman. What a woman. And her poetry is just amazing. So that is it for her, a little bit of her life. And yeah, I'm putting myself on mute by myself. So, well, I wanted to start out, you know, the show with a poem by Maya Angelou that was read. All the poems I selected tonight are poems, so I got the wrong page, were our poems that were read in her voice, because she's such a charismatic reader. And, you know, to see her in show, I would have died to see her in show, you know, but I didn't. But people say that she is amazing. So here is a little taste of her reciting the poem that brings me to tears. This poem brings me to tears every time I read it. Still I rise. And did I put it on the board?
No.
You did.
No.
You did.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
I did?
Which board? It's on the topic board. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's on the topic board. I was going to put it on. Okay, no,
yeah,
I didn't put it on the board. I went straight to the poem.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a recording. Yeah.
Absolutely. Here goes.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, wow. There I go.
What an amazing voice, oh my gracious. And what an amazing poem. And, you know, she was such a charismatic and funny lady. And, you know, that she brought this kind, well, this sassiness to every poem she read, and she made the audience laugh. And what did you think of this poem, Pam?
Oh, yeah, just absolutely amazing. She really, that reading was so great to listen to. How she brought out the attitude and the fun in the lines. You know, it just, it's such an empowering poem, and it always will be. So just absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And she reads it with such passion. And, you know, and, yeah, like you say, it's empowering. It's uplifting. It's just amazing. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, every now and then you get a unique author with a unique writing style, an ability to emote verbally that brings anyone to tears, a skill with words and way of speaking, and as such a charismatic person, incorporating in this poem the Black history, her view of herself as equal to anything and anyone, unbroken, unbowed, call her haughty, call her sassy, you know, you can shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, brilliant lines, and then those immortal two words, I'll rise. Just, you know, I can't get tired of listening to her and this particular poem because it says so much so eloquently. Thank you for allowing us to share her voice and her words.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderfully said there, Laurent. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, what can be said? I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful poem. And I love how she recited this poem because, as Pam said, she brought out the humor in some of her lines. Like she just laughed and said, yeah, you know, this is how you see me. And then she'd go on to the next line. So it gave you that break and that thought of what she was saying and what she was getting ready to say. She was just phenomenal, as a lack of, you know, one of her words. But she was an incredible woman, absolutely. And a great poet, and I think that she really, I don't know, she just knew how to put it across to everyone. There's a few poems I've read of hers that yes, I seldom ever see anywhere, and they're just wonderful. But I love how she started this whole thing out, you know. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust I rise. You know, do what you want, but I'm still going to get back up. That's really what it comes down to. As people say, you know, it's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up to make the difference. And I think that she captured that and put it in such great perspective for everyone. Yeah. So, yes, she's an awesome woman, and I love this poem. So, you know, great choice for the beginning. Absolutely.
What? Wonderful, wonderful comment, Jill. Indeed, amazing. And for our first write, well, we have a piece by Jenny Hunt. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to. All right. And, and it goes like this. Hiding my disgusting dreariness, my true self is dissipating. Our voices are to be heard, not sewn shut with prejudice. Living in a shameful facade, fooling friends and family, for them it must be done. I need them to remember my caring helpfulness. They will remember my strength, not weaknesses. This I am determined. To show them smiles through my tears, I will hide my sadness and laughter. They may not see me, but I see them. For them I love, for them I live. Making them feel important and needed, maybe will help me rest easy in my death. Until my dying breath, doing for them, acting for them, feed them insatiable happiness, give them the ability to remember the good in me in my afterlife is what I intend to do while living today. No stop, rewind, she didn't mean it this way, would not have wanted this end, not for me, not anyone. I'm to rise up and scream, fight for my voice to be heard. Don't give up, mustn't. must block out the demons. I can do this. Show them who I am. Inspire, not expire. Lift my feet one by one. Ignore the evil voices and negativity. In fact, what would Maya Angelou do? Pen it out and be proud of it. Show the world I am enough. No more doubt, no more fear. Show them the true me. Let them hear, no longer to suffer in silence. No more living in people-pleasing facade. End poem.
Yeah, I thought this was an awesome, powerful and uplifting write by Jenny. You know, that, you know, a wonderful, you know, she spun off Maya Angelou, I think, the part of the poem, And Still I Rise, that I put down as a prompt. And yes, we must love others, of course, but above all, we must learn to love ourselves. And sometimes, you know, that is the hardest thing to learn how to do. Indeed, it is. And, you know, we give so much to others, but, you know, we have to stand up for ourselves. We have to learn to love ourselves, stand up for ourselves, ask what we want. And I really like the part, fight for my voice to be heard. Don't give up, must block out the demons. I can do this. Show them who I am. Inspire, not expire. Lift my feet one by one. Ignore the evil voices. Indeed, so well said. Bravo, Jenny. And Phil, your thoughts on Jenny's poem? Hello, Phil?
What, you want the off-mute version? Come on, cut me a break. This is a wonderful poem that was inspired by Maya Angelou. I felt that Maya, you know, truly helped women find their voice. It was powerful and well penned, and I have to say I really enjoyed the last two stanzas of this, only because it reverts back to the prompt. You know, in fact, what would Maya Angelou do? Pen it out and be proud of it. Show the world I am enough. No more doubt, no more fear. Show them the true me. Let them hear. No longer to suffer in silence. No more living in a people-pleasing facade. And there's a lot of truth to that, because there's a lot of that in Maya Angelou's poetry. You know, there is. And I think that Jenny did a fabulous job with this piece. And well done. A great job, Jenny. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, indeed. Amazing, right? Awesome comment there, Jill. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an outstanding piece. I won't be silent anymore to appease others. When Jenny says, hiding my disgusting dreariness, my true self is dissipating, she knows darn well that you have to remain true to who you are, because if you don't, if you start lying to yourself, there's really not much to love, because it's all a lie. But if you stay true to yourself, as she says throughout the poem, there is something then to love. You're not hiding who you were. There's self-respect and positivity, not negativity. The quoted stanzas by Phil and by Gene and you, Naomi, were the ones I had focused on, but you beat me to it, and happily, because those were the good parts of an outstanding poem.
Absolutely. And so well said there, Laura. And Pam, you read that so wonderfully. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that this is a poem where she takes us along on her thoughts. How at first it's the idea of always being happy for everybody else and keeping your real feelings from them. And then she has that turning point. No, stop, rewind. You know, and I really thought this was a wonderful, heartfelt write on learning to be true to yourself and learning to love and embrace the person that's beneath the mask that you were wearing and chose to remove. So excellent write and very well done.
Amazing comment, Pam. And I have our next write up, by Debashish Verma, India, and Laurent, if you can go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Certainly.
Awesome. See you, Naomi.
I am not lonely.
Yeah.
No, I am not lonely. Maybe I am more busier than you. I'm lost in my thought, drowned in my feelings, and soaked in my dreams. When you see me keeping quiet, don't think I am morose. Don't think I am sad. Don't think I am out of the track and got lost somewhere. No, I am not hiding my emotions or pain behind the falseness of a smile. No, no, I am here, trying to see some good in every place. I've just set myself aside to think more. Now I am engrossed in stitching some words in a line to tell you what crosses my mind, just like a lightning bolt that cuts the sky. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read, Laura. And you know, you could take this just literally as someone seeking that me time just to think. But you know, if you relate it back to Maya Angelou and her, you know, when the period that she went silent in her life, and then you know. You can see there that, you know, she must have been really thinking, you know. And then at the end of his poem when he says, now I am engrossed in stitching some words in a line to tell you what crosses my mind, just like a lightning bolt that cuts the sky. You know, when she published in 1969, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, you know, the autobiography of her early life, her tale of personal strength amid childhood trauma and racism. Well, her words really struck like lightning bolts cutting through the sky. So, you know, bravo on this, right? I really related it back to Maya Angelou all the way. So bravo. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, this is an absolutely amazing write. I like how, I thought it was beautiful and thoughtful, and I like how it speaks on the idea of how people misjudge silence or misjudge the idea that being alone means you're lonely. But as he speaks on, you really, sometimes you need that time alone. You know, sometimes to really find that inner peace, you need to get away from the world. And I especially like, don't think I am out of the track and got lost somewhere. No, I am not hiding my emotions or pain behind the falseness or smile. No, no, I am here trying to see some good in every place. So I like that. I am here trying to see some good in every place. It's like the person is taking time to observe the world around them rather than constantly chattering. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah. Amazingly well said there, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this was a well done piece. I love how it starts out, I am not lonely. No, I'm not lonely. And then it gets into the, you know, no, I'm not hiding my emotions or pain behind the falseness of a smile. I'm here trying to see some good in every place. You know, this definitely has three stages to this wonderful brevity. And I think it was very well expressed and a well-penned piece. So nice job, the basis. Sorry. I never get it right. I don't even know why I bothered to try. Because I kind of think I mutilated it. But it was well done, and I think that it has that kind of feel behind it, as a Maya Angelou piece may have, because it's just direct. You know, don't think this of me because you see me, you know, quiet sitting here. You know, I'm not melancholy or morose. It's a whole it explains the situation and explains it in such a way that everybody now has to kind of, well, rethink it, I guess. So great job, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Amazing comments there, Phil. And Laurent, what are your thoughts on peace?
Well, wonderful analysis so far by everyone. When Devashish says, no, I am here, trying to see some good in every place. I have to say, by seeing good in others, you see the good in yourself, and so remain true to an essence that is only yours, able to love others as you love yourself. I thought it was brilliant introspection, wonderful piece.
Awesome comment. And I have our next piece up by Colap. And Phil, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. I'm glad it was here this time. I got nervous. Okay, this is With the Will of Iron and the Flute of Pan by Colap. The night has been long, the wound has been deep, the pit has been dark, and the walls have been steep. With the force of my will, I shall trill, and I shall twirl, as long as it takes until the light floods the darkness of my space and until the wound closes up. By the power of nature's grace, the bottom of my pit shall propel me into the open sky, where the steep walls of my despair shall melt and flow downstream. As I swim, backstroke swim toward the eternal bliss, where somewhere at the end you are there and bestow me that proverbial kiss, in a blink of an eye and the sigh of a bliss. End poem. Nice.
Oh, what an amazing read there, Phil. You know, this is just amazing. You know, it's very, very powerful, right? On, you know, the healing of, you know, the healing you get, yes, from maybe coming into yourself, but also being in nature, you know, just the force that you can find inside of yourself. I think it was an excellent write to that prompt, which is in dark, you know, darkened letters in at the top of the poem, quote by a part of a poem by Maya Angelou. And yeah, what an amazing write. As I swim, a backstroke swim towards an eternal bliss, where somewhere at the end you are there to bestow me a proverbial kiss in a blink of an eye and the sigh of a bliss. I just love the whole flow of the poem too. Excellently done, Paula. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. I really like how it is a poem of healing and a poem of getting through the dark times of life. And the healing that comes with, as you were mentioning, of connecting with nature and understanding that the power that nature has. I really like that third stanza. By the power of nature's grace, the bottom of my pit shall propel me into the open sky, where the steep walls of my despair shall melt and flow downstream. I like how that speaks on the idea that once you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere to go except up. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Tim. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I wish I had more time to write a better appreciation of this piece. With the title, With the Will of Iron and the Flute of Pan, followed by The Night Has Been Long, The Wound Has Been Deep, The Pit Has Been Dark, and The Walls Have Been Steep. One does not, you know, The Will of Iron, The Flute of Pan, one does not deny the other, does it? The will to overcome the long night, heal the wound, and that takes an iron will, merged with the lust for life, because when she describes Pan, or when she mentions Pan, who is a nature god. I mean, he was associated with fields, groves, woodlands, and sex. And because of this, Pan is connected to fertility in the season of spring, and when you have that in you. You're still alive. You're still a human being. And you recognize, she recognizes, what is important and what is essential towards recovery. Among other things, you are there to bestow me a proverbial kiss and a blink of an eye and the sigh of a bliss. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Phil, your thoughts, my dear.
I thought this was a wonderful write to the prompt, beautifully written, and I love the second and third stanzas, and I thought there was wonderful imagery. And I only quoted the second in my comment. By the power of nature's grace, the bottom of my pit shall propel me into the open sky, for the steep walls of my despair shall melt and flow downstream. I thought that was a wonderful stanza. And I love the ending stanza as well. I think they flowed nicely together. I can only copy and paste the whole poem, you know what I mean? But thanks for sharing with us all tonight, Colette. It was a wonderful piece. And very well done.
Well said there. What I was going to say, Pam. Well said there, Phil. And I have, Lara, I have your piece up next. So go ahead and give it a read for us.
All right. When I read one of the quotes, I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, I was struck by such a strong statement. I mean, it has layers, but on the surface, written by a person who knows who they are. Therefore, that spurred me to write reflections. I see hints on my once familiar face, experiences etched as if tattooed in place. Each fold and wrinkle, each scarred seam, reminds me again of who I've been. But I must ask, mirror, mirror on the wall, was I ever really who I thought at all? Or is my reflection a trick of the light, a shadow version in the gloaming night? Pale moonbeam caresses my frown, that thing called a smile turned upside down. Wiser with the grace of years, holding answers to my fears, bidding goodbye to who I think I was, existing now on the cusp of just because. End poem.
Amazing, amazing read, Lara, and amazing, right? I wrote to you, as we age, we often don't see ourselves well. I still see myself as young. I can't, see myself as getting older, but we are getting older. And as what we have become, we don't see ourselves sometimes as what we have become, and we doubt everything we thought we once were. And yes, as we grow older, we grow into that maturity, and we grow wise enough to accept us as we are, and to exist on, like you said, the just because, accepting ourselves for simply who we are. Amazing, right, Lorraine? And, a great write to that prompt. And, I loved, the style of your writing, which reflected some of Maya Angelou's writing, I thought, like the rhyming scheme that she uses. So I thought that was really, really cool. So what a great, great write this is. And, with such amazing lines and throughout, I just love the mirror on the wall. Was I ever really who I thought at all? Or is my reflection a trick of the light, a shadow version in the glooming night? Amidst so many other lines, I could just quote the whole thing. I just found this so amazing. And Pam, your thoughts, my dear.
Yeah, this is an amazing write. You did a great job with this prompt here, Lauren. Wonderful imagery throughout. I like how it speaks on discovering a new self with the passing of time, but I also especially like how it's a very introspective write, especially with the lines, mirror, mirror on the wall, was I ever really who I thought at all? Or is my reflection a trick of the light, a shadow version in the gloomy night? Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you.
And Phil, your thoughts.
Well, you know, Lauren, I think this is an excellent write. Wonderful poem on self-reflection. You know, that's what I got from it. So many great lines throughout. And, you know, this is what I quoted. I see the hints on my once familiar face. Experiences etched as if tattooed in place. Each folding wrinkle, each scarred scene reminds me again of who I've been. But I must ask, mirror, mirror on the wall, was I ever really who I thought at all? I thought it was well written and much enjoyed. Great job.
Thank you, Jean.
Awesome. Awesome comment, Jill. And I have our next poem up by Flower Muse, which is our history. And I'll go ahead and read this one. From childhood, we have been hated and exploited. Yet we believe in believing and dare to dare. And there will come a day when we will all feel equal and be truly free and home. And what an amazing right to, you know, to the, you know, not only the race, the racism, sexism, but you know, in everything that every human being, you know, that feels a little bit less worthy in the world that we live in today, I find. And but you know, our history, I think he wrote it to, you know, the black people and their history, and their history of from you know, being a slave to the being equal today, and someday, you know, being truly free and truly equal one day. And it works as much for women too, you know. And wonderful, wonderful write here by Flower Muse, indeed. Wonderful brevity that says so much, so powerful. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is definitely a brevity that packs a punch to it, really pulls at the heartstrings. It's a beautiful write on not only speaking on the hatred in out of there in the world, but the idea of getting beyond that hatred and seeking the dream of truly being free, of truly being able to be yourself. Excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Laura, your thoughts.
Yeah, we pay lip service to the ideal of equality. But as long as we live in a hierarchical society defined by money and power, I don't think we'll ever really be equal when that time comes that we are not judged that way. Perhaps we will be equal, and as Flower Muse says, be truly free. Excellent brevity.
Well said there, Laura. And Phil, your thoughts.
You know, I thought it was a wonderful brevity by Flower Muse, and I thought the thoughts here were so well expressed. You know, the hopes of children, you know, are so in this piece. You know, from childhood we have been hated and exploited, yet we believe in believing and dare to dare that there will come a day when we all will feel equal and be truly free. You know, there's a hope that you carry with you through life, that things will be better, you know, for everyone. So I think this man did a great job with this piece. Very well done, and thank you for sharing.
Amazing comment, Bill. And I have our next write-up by Liquid Mind Forever. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us.
I would be happy to. All right. And this is Be the Example, Not the Sample by Liquid Mind Forever. I am the witness of our suffering, the tall Norfolk pine, frilly, full, fortified. Don't wait. Today is your day to convey a new state, a new country, a brand new community of you. Stop justifying a wasteful past time preventing the now from manifesting anything but calamity. Whoever told you you were less blessed you a test for you to profess. How much more than less can you have guessed who scripted this? And now a bow which you deserve to allow. Don't kowtow or disavow, become the Tao. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, bury the gnarled bone. Honor and obey the master of your heart. Chart your course without remorse. It's worse to purse your lips and pout. Come about, remember the apostle who sank for doubt. I am the testimony, the judge, the jury, the committee. I am the city of peers. Don't worry, don't hurry. Squirrels and sandpipers scurry by their cachet on the short. This is your life, not Dante's hellish mort. End poem.
I think, you know, Liquid Mind Forever really captured all the dynamic and, you know, the powerfulness of Maya Angelou in this poem. Well, she kind of does in every poem that she writes, but, you know, she has this sassy way of, you know, and straightforward frankness, you know, that says, no, don't give me any bullshit. But, but you know, I just love this poem so much. You know, it just, you know, don't make excuses. Don't fall short or, you know, and live life and, you know, live it. And I just love a reference where she says, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, bury the narrow bone. Just an amazing right here. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
As usual, she's given us something unique in the way of a right. If I can address the second stanza. Stop justifying a wasteful past time, preventing the now from manifesting anything but calamity. It strikes me so much as a person who's trying to plug holes in the dike with their finger, trying frantically to make sure that no bad happens, which I think is kind of impossible. Whoever told you you were less blessed you a test for you to profess how much more than less that you are. You don't need to worry so much about the little things. If you remain true to yourself, you will succeed. And then moving into the third, and now a bow, which you deserve to allow. Don't kowtow or disavow. Don't completely accept something. Don't completely push it away. Become the Tao, which is a wonderful reference to, you know, that sense of universal wisdom. The potential for individual wisdom, I think, is very important. And that speaks very strongly to most East Asian philosophies, which I know Liquid Mind Forever is well steeped in. Outstanding, right?
Great comment there, Laurent. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a wonderfully expressed piece by Deborah. I really did. There's so much going on throughout because she changes up her wording with each section. But I had to say that I picked up here. It grew. Honor and obey the master of your heart. Chart your course without remorse. It's worse to purse your lips and pout. Come about, remember the apostle who sank for doubt. I am the testimony, the judge, the jury, the committee. I am the city of Hughes. Don't worry, don't hurry. Squirrels and sandpipers scary. Sorry, they're cachet on short, on the short. This is your life, not Dante's hellish mort. I think that she really did a fine job pulling it together and expressing herself. You know, it's follow the master of your heart. I mean, that's what we all should do every day with everything. You know, what our heart tells us and how we believe. I mean, that's really what all that comes down to. I mean, if you believe it and you feel it, then you should follow it and go with it, in my opinion. But I really like this, and I think that she did a fine job. And as always, you know, she did a wonderful job pulling it all together and worded it a few different ways where we could all catch on. And I think that's great. And I think Maya might have liked this piece. Just saying.
Yeah.
Thanks.
For sure. I bet Maya would have really, really liked that piece. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I have to agree. I do think Maya Angelou would have a great appreciation for this piece. I like the strength of voice in it and the attitude and the intelligence. And, you know, it was amazing imagery and metaphors. It was an excellent write on the idea of living life to the fullest without making excuses for yourself or for anyone else. I really like, you know, defying a wasteful pastime, preventing the now from manifesting anything but calamity. Whoever told you you were less, blessed you a test for you to profess, how much more than less can you guess who scripted this? Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Amazing comment there, Pam. And I have our next poem up by Damn It Dave and Laurent, if she can go ahead and give that a read for us.
I figured you might ask me. All right. Thoughts of Death by Damn It Dave. Some days I feel so full of life that fate pulls out its carving knife to slice another piece away, reminding me I'll die someday. I think of death and I get pissed. How dare I someday not exist? It's hard for me to comprehend this life I love will meet its end. A lifetime spent to learn and grow, subverted by death's undertow. No matter what I do or say, I know that I will pass away. The knowledge gained will be for naught. As I lie in the ground and rot, I ask where are life's dividends when death forevermore impends. Some nights I lie in bed and cry because I know someday I'll die. The thoughts of death will not desist. I weep because I won't exist. I fear the bitter taste of death, and with my bitter final breath, I'll scream out, God, please tell me why. At birth, we all are doomed to die. End poem.
Amazing read, Laura. And, you know, he wrote this to the prompt, which was the poem, The Lesson by Maya Angelou. You know, I keep on dying again. Veins collapse, opening like small fists of sleeping children. You know, what a powerful write on, you know, just, you know, the death and trying hard to accept it, but not accepting it, you know, because, you know, in that final sentence, you know, in the final line where he screams out, please, God, please tell me why at birth we are all doomed to die. Yeah, when we start living, we start dying a bit, you know. When we're born, we start dying, you know, and it's true for everybody. But very well composed piece, great flow and rhyme, and very powerful. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is an excellent write. As always, his rhyme and flow is spot on. Great imagery. I like the emotional impact of it. It really speaks well on the idea of self-awareness of death and how that burdens the mind and the heart and, you know, kind of takes over and becomes almost like an obsession. And I really like, the knowledge gained will be for naught as I lie in the ground and rot. I ask where are life's dividends when death forevermore impends. Great lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was an excellent take on the prompt. I was not familiar with Maya Angelou's poem, The Lesson. And when I looked at it briefly, I went, yeah, I think Dave has this figured out. But I thought the thoughts were so well expressed here. Great rhyme and meter, as always, you know. But these were the two stanzas I like. A lifetime spent to learn and grow, subverted by death's undertow. No matter what I do or say, I know that I will pass away. The knowledge gained will be for naught as I lie in the ground and rot. I ask where are life's dividends when death forevermore impends. You know, I thought that well, there was a lot of great stanzas, but I really liked the way those two pulled it together. And great job, Dave, and thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Amazing comment there, Phil. And who did Nina ask? Laurent, what are your thoughts?
Oh, damn it, Dave. I tell you what. I like Damn It Dave because, once again, he has purloined my thoughts. When he says, I think of death and I get pissed. How dare I someday not exist? It's hard for me to comprehend this life I love will meet its end. And then that waste of a lifetime spent to learn and grow. And it's subverted by death's undertow. And no matter what I do or say, I know that I will pass away. He has purloined my thoughts and dressed them in better cloth than I would have. The tide is inexorable. One day will draw us under. One day, but not now. You have a keen pen, damn it, Dave. Beautiful piece.
Amazing comment. And it's time, I think, to hear another great poem by Maya Angelou. So I put up her poem, Alone, and we'll listen to her read.
Okay. Ready for it? I'm going to start it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Lying, thinking, last night, how to find my soul a home, where water is not thirsty, and where bread loaf is not stone. I came up with one thing, and I don't believe I'm wrong, that nobody, but nobody, can make it out here alone. Alone, all alone, nobody, but nobody, can make it out here alone. There are some millionaires with money they cannot use. Their wives run around like banshees. Their children sing the blues. They've got expensive doctors to cure their hearts of stone. But nobody, no nobody, can make it out here alone. All alone, all alone, nobody, but nobody can make it out here alone. Now if you listen closely, I'll tell you what I know. Storm clouds are gathering. The wind is gonna blow. The race of man is suffering, and I can hear the moan, 'cause nobody, but nobody, can make it out here alone. All alone, all alone, nobody, but nobody, can make it out here alone.
What a haunting poem by Maya Angelou. And, you know, I think it's her cry for everybody to come together as one. As a great in society, you know, there's a lot of me, and just me and my problems and my preoccupations and you know, earning my money but nobody, like she says, nobody can make it alone. We always need somebody, even the richest of the millionaires. They still need people. And what a great write. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I actually had never heard this one before, so I'm glad you brought it to the show. It's wonderful, right, with great use of repetition. And, yeah, there was definitely just a powerful emotion within her voice. So very well done.
And what did you think, Laura?
Man is a social animal. One of the worst things we can do is lock somebody up in solitary confinement. It make, you know, literally leaving them all alone. And as she says, alone, all alone, nobody can make it out here alone. And then she references millionaires with money they can't use, and children sing the blues. They've got expensive doctors to cure their hearts of stone. I've often thought that the richest people are sometimes the most alone. Because how can you gauge whether friendship is true or simply attracted to your money and not to you? Makes you think. Beautiful piece.
Wonderful comment. And what did you think, Sheila, the piece?
You know, I thought this was a great poem by Maya Angelou. You know, the truth of it is we can't really make it alone. We all need someone. We may not need them to house us, feed us, you know, hold us, but emotionally we need people, as well as any of the other things I mentioned. I mean, we need other people for all these different reasons in our life. And I think that was just a wonderful expression by my, you know, just stating, you know, we cannot make it out here alone. And that's what I thought was the best about it. So, yeah, I enjoyed it very much. Great choice, Naomi. Great choice.
Thank you. And, you know, I really wanted, you know, I could have chosen other rites or poems, but I really wanted poems that she read in her voice. So, you know, that was one of them. And, yeah, and I put up the next piece, and feel if you can read it and then continue with comments. I have to go and take care of my cat for a minute. She's meowing her head off. So go ahead.
Okay. This is called A Universe Unto Your Own by Guilty. The quote that he wrote to: the sun, rain, curving sky, mountain, oceans, leaf and stone, star, shine, moon, glow, you're all that I can call my own. And here we go. An expanding mind of wander. An expanding mind to wander, infinite space of wonder. Comets dot your eyes. Hazel, opal, emerald shine. Ears hear the roar of oceans washed out to weigh with the tide. Breathe the air blow away. Negativity, the boogie thought. Others may try to sway. Loose lips gossip instead of pray. Whatever deity you believe, they did not mean it this way. Idle chatter creates burden, more weight on your frame, letting your feet in muck. Veins protrude, hardened arteries, don't let your heart break. Let the rivers flow freely, called love, passion, and hope. Be fooled by no one and say nobody's joke. In the orbit of your universe, a world unto your own, stormy calm, filled reverie, is there life there, your greatest discovery? And poem. So, Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
Absolutely. I think this poem calls on one to be aware of yourself, of your spirit and your focus. As the poet says, idle chatter creates burden, more weight on your frame, lead in your feet and muck, veins protrude, head and arteries, don't let your heart break. If you don't concentrate on the essentials, as she says, let the rivers flow, called love, passion, and hope, don't deviate too much from those things, which are the essential things and not the small things that will end up grinding you into the dust. Makes you think. I really like this piece.
Nice comment. Okay, how about you?
Yeah, as always, this is an impressive write by Guilty. Wonderful imagery throughout. I really like how it pays tribute to Maya Angelou, but yet it also pays tribute to any woman or person who finds that true strength and courage deep within themselves. I particularly like Idle Chatter Creates Burden, More Weight on Your Frame, Letting Your Feet in Muck, Veins Protrude, Heart and Arteries, Don't Let Your Heart Break. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely.
And I'm back. Yeah, I really like this piece by Guilty too, you know, a universe onto your own. I thought it was a unique creative take on that prompt, you know, that as the sun, rain, curving sky, mountain, oceans, leaf and stone, stars shine, moon glow, you're all that I can call my own. And I think, you know, he spun off that prompt to just, like Pam said, to bring forward the women that are courageous and strong and like the curving sky and the mountains and the oceans and the stars that shine. So great, great creative take on the prompt. Very well done, Guilty indeed. And with that, I'm going to go back and get a next write. Okay. And pop that in. So this is going to be Chinaski, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
Yes, we do. Okay, here we go.
You held me in cradled arms, looked into my emptiness. I remembered how we worked on that camshaft. Dipped in gasoline, we cleaned and measured steps, making engines purr. Taming hardened demons, whispering as night sails blossom, we were cured by the sea, awakening upon high trolling wakes, early mornings, soft salted breeze, absent, absorbed into the moment. Dad, you were the light that never dimmed, a glow that will always stay deep inside the onion, up my tough, leathery skin. Years nourishing seeds, quenching hungry eggshell minds, my head's eyeing the bow on our two-ton sun, floating upon fresh, feverish Atlantic, green turning to blue into the waters off Sands Cut. I used to pray to rediscover you, turning mirrors on the wall in the Key Largo home. Those dull sea cows, proud of ocean floors, our universe kneels under mangroves, the swamps of Hell's Bay Everglades, to curiously eye its own raw postures as you drift into unconsciousness. I've become you.
Thank you, Chinaski, for the SoundCloud. It's so appreciated. And, you know, what a wonderful voice and what a wonderful, tribute to his father he wrote here. And he wrote to the prompt by the quote by Maya Angelou that said, I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And, you know, I think that is reflected so well throughout this prompt. You know, the love of his father and everything they did together. Amazing imagery throughout and just, awesome, right, by Chinaski as always. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is definitely a beautiful and heartfelt write. I like how it pays tribute to his dad and the time they spent together and the things that he learned from him, and the realization of becoming your parent at the end was clever. You know, amazing imagery and metaphors, and I like how it speaks on those memories shared. And I especially like, Dad, you were the light that never dimmed, a glow that will always stay deep inside the onion of my tough, leathery skin. Wonderful lines all the way through, and very well done.
Indeed, absolutely. Well said there, Pam. And Laura, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a brilliant piece on recalling a man who inspired you, your own father. You know, it can happen, but sometimes the opposite happens. And after years of reflection, perhaps, his influence on your life has allowed you to become him because of how he made you feel. So powerful. Excellent.
Amazing comment, Laura. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was a fabulous tribute to his dad. Very well expressed and a remarkable take on the chosen prompt. And I picked the same stanza that Pam quoted, so I'm not going to quote it again. But I thought there was great imagery, and I wanted to thank him for sharing with us tonight. Definitely a great piece. So thanks, Janeski. Well done.
Wonderfully said there, Phil. And I have our next piece up by Mass 29. Wanting something is seldom enough. And it goes like this. Wanting something is seldom enough. Actually knowing and feeling it is obtainable. This will bring it closer, but still not within your grasp. To attain this, you have to go out and get it. Do the work. Being creative and disciplined are fine attributes. These will open your mind and drive you forwards. But without belief and enthusiasm for what you do, you are like a paddle boat floating without oars. This ability to believe is sadly unable to be taught. It is something which has to be experienced. The yearning to overcome the many obstacles of life, learning that not doing is actually worse than doing. To not express and show your viewpoint and mastery is allowing yourself to be a caged bird, can't sing. Everyone has innate skills, often failing to see them. They don't allow them to flourish and reach their potential. An unwritten song or unpenned story is a lost gift to the world. Daring to believe in the unthinkable can open closed doors. End poem. And he wrote to the prompt 28, and I'll go and look what that prompt was.
It's in the AM.
It is?
Naomi.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
No, it's okay. I just want to help you out. That's all. Go ahead. Do your thing. Sorry.
Okay. I believe that the most important single thing beyond discipline and creativity is daring to dare. Yeah, what an amazing, thank you for that, Phil. I didn't realize that was the quote. And what an amazing, but without belief and enthusiasm for what you do, you're like a paddle boat floating without oars. That's just absolutely amazing. And I loved how he put in the reference to, to be a caged bird who can't sing. So put a reference in there to one of Maya Angelou's poems. You're just a great writer all through. So well written. Thank you, Matt29, for sharing this tonight with us. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I was glad to see that Matt29 was inspired. And I really like the message in this. It's such positive affirmation and speaking on the idea that you know, you must take action. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have dreams and faith, but you must take action. I really like being creative and disciplined are fine attributes. These will open your mind and drive you forward, but without belief and enthusiasm for what you do, you are like a paddle boat floating without oars. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops, off mute, Naomi. Absolutely well said there, Pam. And Laura, your thoughts?
Yeah, the importance of belief is, well, it's the most important thing. When I was in high school, I was in a weightlifting. I did weightlifting for a year. And I was a little scared of the weights, as were some of the others, because they seemed daunting. The coach said that if you don't believe you can lift that, you can't. You never will. He said the mind is more powerful than you are. The mind controls the body. And if the mind doubts, the body will doubt. And if you believe, the body will believe, all of the things being equal. And after much practice and trying to find that sense of belief, one day it arrives and you lift that weight. Metaphorical, literal, it doesn't matter. And belief is everything, because if you don't believe, you can't. So, great poem. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful comment there, Laura. And Phil, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this was an excellent piece by Matt29. Definitely a great take on the chosen poem. And, you know, I had to grab these two stanzas, although they were all wonderful and well done. The ability to believe is sadly unable to be taught. It is something which has to be experienced. The yearning to overcome the many obstacles of life, learning that not doing is actually worse than doing. To not express and show your viewpoint and mastery is allowing yourself to be a caged bird who can't sing. Everyone has innate skills, often failing to see them. They don't allow them to flourish and reach their potential. I thought it was great imagery throughout this entire piece, and I thought it was very well done. So thanks, Matt, for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there. And I have our next piece on the board by Ben Hart. And Laura, if you can go ahead and give that a read for us.
Yes, I will. Let me sit down with this one. Melancholy Love by Ben Hart. Seven sad surprises. In one hand, an apple. In the other, a frag, and both of them slipping. One she has bitten, and with the other she'll bite. With one she casts crater, with the other casts shade. And she'll tell you you're sleeping as she lovingly administers overdoses of poppies golden weeping. Like wolf ripping at a stag with tungsten teeth dripping and canine eyes counting down the crescent lights, sifting the peripheral from the prey as nitrous smoke seeps out of double barrel noses from which she breathes in deep melancholic ecstasy, oxidizing hazel eyes, leaving sapphire charcoal streaks and mortgage tears wake as a retired throat scrapes away the metal aftertaste of all that's buried deep. A consolation cheap for the sinking of Argo, in death displaced for kindness' sake. Charon kept his salary, pennies from every passerby, as freckles on her cheeks. For temperate summer to expose winter's Robin Hood larceny, as copper tattoos of pickpocketed stars replace the peach burning of blushing hill, at the melting of porcelain horizons, just when I thought beauty had run out of surprises. Midnight mania at war with tomorrow's morose euphoric driftwood in a maelstrom of disharmony. Algian fingers tracing scars, but heal they never will. What we let razor blades revise, like Kronos' cruelty against Lucy, every time the day divides. But in my fury to capture her lure on a canvas of aching, somewhere I forgot that she loves me not. She loves me not, and this I must endure. Little omissions. I never lied to you. You just never asked. Any time I said, hello, my love. If my love was just a figure of speech or a brave admission of the truth out of heart's reach. Keaton understands the need to write youth a eulogy every day again. I don't have to wonder what it's like losing me. I just look at these two hands cursing where your head has been and the anguish of its absence. End poem.
And he wrote to the prompt, wonderful read there, Lorette. And he wrote to the prompt, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. And to two other prompts, like how people make you feel. And the night has been long, the wound has been deep, the pit has been dark, and the walls have been steep. And so who was it that said that all that art that's on top of his poem is by him? He makes that, he draws that art. So, my gracious, I didn't know that. I would have had him in the contest, you know, the artist contest. But great write on, you know, this unreturned love, you know, how people make you feel. Great write on that. And, you know, just because, you know, somebody, you know, you love somebody doesn't mean that they'll love you back. And, you know, there's a great strength that he shows in this character here. And, Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is amazing imagery and metaphors throughout. A beautiful melancholy tone. I like the references to Greek mythology, like where he mentions Kronos. And I like that it speaks on that idea of being torn apart by love. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Amazing comment. And Laurent, you read the piece. What did you think?
It's a long piece. It's filled with vivid imagery. It's somewhat abstract. And it's full of contrasting elements. For instance, in one hand an apple, in the other a frag, and both of them slipping. One she has bitten, and with the other she'll bite. And she'll tell you you're sleeping as she lovingly administers overdoses of poppies, golden weeping. And the next lines are absolutely true, like wolf ripping into a stag with tungsten teeth dripping. The things that happen in relationships can be very painful. The midnight mania at war with tomorrow's morose euphoric driftwood and a maelstrom of disharmony, I thought was a breathtaking phrase and really speaks to internal conflicts and wounds that somehow will never completely heal. And he has to remind himself she doesn't really love you. And part of that is, even though you profess love, she never asked whether it was truth. Wow. Really glad I read this. It's a wonderful creative piece. Highly emotive. Much appreciated.
Highly emotive. That's exactly the words for it. Awesome comment there, Laura. And feel your thoughts.
You know, I thought that this was an excellent piece. You know, I was listening as Laurent was reading, but I was running over there to see what the prompt was. And I saw that in the AN it says that his part two, or his section two, relates back to your prompt two. Apparently, that's strictly to this one prompt. And that's, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. And I think that his second half of the poem was a fine reflection of that prompt. So very well done, and I really enjoyed it. I think that this is an excellent piece. You know, Ben tends to put up some very wonderful, wonderful poems. Sometimes they're a bit over my head, but that's just me. Everything's over my head. I'm only 5'5". you know, it's not hard to do. So I want to just say what a great job, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Ben, for sharing with us all.
Awesome comment, Jill. And I have the next piece up. It's by Amy A.R. Mundell. And Pam, if you can go ahead and give that a read for us.
I would be happy to. Paws and Tails by A.R. Mundell. It curls like a ferret, each hair a character, a plot, a line. It waits for its words to be wrought, for its bones to be typed, shifting and snuffling, restless in its cavern, carved permanent, growing new ungainly limbs, birthing litters of branching family trees, each a thread running to smaller caverns, ravaging other animals, other stories. They compete for dominance, the ferret with the snake, the rooster with the dog, each gouging pieces to become part of themselves. A torn-off ear becomes a reimagined arc. A clawed foot steals the villain's reveal until the drought sets in with no nourishing thoughts flow their way. Parched, they lay hibernating in their own little pockets, hoping for drops of lithe imagination to grace their tongues, to spark them to life so they can run and leap and grow and plan once more, leaving paw prints and claw prints over every surface of the recess, coaxing those little caverns to one day cleave them letter by letter upon a page. End poem.
Awesome read, Pam. And, you know, what an amazing write by Amy. Oh, my gracious. This is about an extended metaphor for, you know, how you get those letters and those words out onto a piece of paper. She wrote to the prompt also about the untold stories. There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. And I think, you know, she really, through this poem, she really shows all the struggle you get sometimes when you're fighting to get those lines onto the page and get that story out. And so well written all the way. There's so many parts that I could recite in this, but just amazing. From that first, it curls like a ferret, each hair a character, a plot, a line. It waits for its words to be wrought, for its bones to be typed. Just amazing, you know, from start to finish. And what did you think, Phil?
My goodness, you caught me off guard. I think it was a great write by Amy and an excellent reflection on the poem. Wonderful imagery, as Elaine said, you know, metaphors throughout. I had to look here. I was glancing back to see what I would grab, and I was like, oh. But I got here, and I said, hoping for drops of the imagination to grace their tongues, to spark them to life so they can run and leap and grow and plan once more. Leaving paw prints and claw prints over every surface in the recess, coaxing those caverns to one day cleave them letter by letter upon a page. It's like just pulling all that together and creating. And I think that, again, is a wonderful reflection to prompt too. So nice work, Amy, and I thank you so much for sharing. It was a great piece. Definitely.
Oh, indeed. Oh, absolutely. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, the ideas are cantankerous things. They can curl like a ferret, each hair a character, a plot, a line. She uses so well the ferret with the snake, the rooster with the dog, when she says each a thread running to smaller caverns, ravaging other animals, other stories, and I'm going in reverse here, but more importantly, growing new ungainly limbs, birthing litters of branching family trees, how ideas can proliferate, and which one do you choose? Which one wins? You know, she says they compete for dominance, the ferret with a snake, the rooster with a dog, each gouging pieces to become parts of themselves. Each idea can fight another idea, and yet there are pieces of both that you can take from that and incorporate. For instance, a torn-off ear becomes a reimagined arc. Two totally dissimilar things, if you will, yet she somehow manages to integrate them beautifully. Very, very impressive piece.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Pam, your thoughts. Did I ask you, Pam? No.
Nope, not yet. this is quite clever. It's an excellent write on, this process of writing a story and how sometimes everything just goes the way it's supposed to, and other times it just kind of all, it falls apart, or as she says, parched, they lay hibernating in their own little pocket. I thought it had brilliant imagery and metaphors and was an excellent write on the idea of struggling to get that story out on paper. So very well done.
Absolutely. Awesome comments, everybody. And I have our next write-up by Eric Svensson, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Thank you, Becky. Here we go.
Transparent template temple. Speak not so easily of love, friends, frenemies, foes, for its translucent cosmic yeast, binary binds breath unto all life, sustains butterflies, buttercups, and bluebells. Speak not so easily of love, wedged winged dove oft singed, yet faithfully fights its way through maelstrom storms, visors sunshine scorch, warms wintry autumn days. Speak not so easily of love, for it's the most sought after earthly possession. Gold bullion means naught if love's luster lacks. Love softens granite, extracts the pietà from mute marble. Cedar, cypress, and pine become crucifixion crosses. Speak not so easily of love, for distilled in you, its esoteric essence sustains you. Cauldron cast into 12 known universes, its mystical, magical potion binds all, from little ants to redwoods tall. Speak not so easily of love, pure, untainted ingredient of unleavened cosmic bread. Rather become quiet and allow your allotted portion to rise through your head, heart, and hands. O lover, liege, lord and lady, speak not so easily of love. Be still, and gradually the trill of wedged wise dove wings thrill sweeps away all compressed cooped up fears. Love's essence replenishes, illumines darkest soul night. Hamstrung heads hearts and hands rise. Rise to lift, tilt, replenish cups heavenwards. Broken hallelujahs healed. No minor falls, only major lifts. Until then, my lover, Lord and Lady Liege, speak not so easily of love. End poem.
Again. And, you know, and I read his A.N. He says, I had the privilege of meeting Maya Angelou in person when I attended a poetry convention in Washington, D.C. in 2002. Ah! Mm-hmm. So he met her in person, my gracious. But, you know, what an amazing rite this is with, you know, the alliteration again. You know, it's so amazing with his alliteration. But the stanza that stuck out for me was, O lover Liege, Lord and Lady, speak not so easily of love. Be still and gradually the trill of wedged wise dove wings thrill sweeps away all compressed, cooped up fears. Yeah, you know, that spoke to me a lot because, you know, sometimes we're so scared of love. I think we're scared of getting hurt or I don't know. But, you know, we and that stanza just stuck out for me. But what a wonderful, wonderful write on that prompt. And I love the repetition of speak not so easily of love because, you know, love has many, many facets. So, you know, we don't just shout out, I love you, because there's so much it involves. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I'm just still reading through it.
Okay, so, Laura, can you, your thoughts, please, Laura?
Certainly, certainly. There's a lot going on here. Let me pick a couple of stanzas. Cauldron cast into 12 known universes, its mystical, magical potion binds all little ants to redwoods tall. Speak not so easily of love. Pure, untainted ingredient of unleavened cosmic bread. You know, I don't think Eric chooses his words loosely. I think he means every word to be in its place. When he describes the cauldron, which I assume is the cauldron into which love is boiling, is bubbling, is becoming love, cast into 12 known universes. Well, no one knows how many universes there are, and I'm certain that he knows that, but he takes 12 as an easy number to postulate in order to speak about its mystical, magical potion. And that's exactly what it is. And when you have unknown universes, it implies an unknown number of ways in which love can manifest itself. And by describing it as pure, untainted ingredient of unleavened cosmic bread, he's saying it doesn't need anything else. There is no other ingredient which will taint it in order for it to rise. Because it rises of its own, nature. As usual, powerful, powerful piece.
Indeed, amazing comment there, Laura. And Pam, are you ready to comment?
Yes, I thought this was beautifully written. Wonderful imagery, great use of alliteration. I do like the repetition in it. It has a very classic style to it, I like how, you know, it speaks on the importance of love shared between all people of the world and how it shouldn't be so easily dismissed. I really like speak not so easily of love, pure untainted ingredient of unleavened cosmic bread. Rather become quiet and allow your allotted portion to rise through your heart, through your head, heart, and hands. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Indeed. And Phil, a few thoughts, please.
As you know, I have to say, I thought this was a great piece full of references and fabulous imagery. Wonderful work, as always, by Eric. And I think his alliteration was well done, as always. I feel like what I do is repeat myself sometimes with him. But I want to thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And I have to say, I am jealous of you meeting Maya Angelou, but not really. I'm just happy he had the experience, and I think that's great. So excellent work, and thank you very much, Eric, for sharing.
And, yeah, thank you. I saw that Gavin is on the board. I wonder if somebody could drop in the show link, please.
Sure.
Okay, so this is the, I'll read the next poem by Lu Yu because it has Spanish in it. So this is Bailando Reyes de Luz de Luno Min Mis Ojos. Morning beans caress months, your skilled sharp-edged piercings laced innocently below your gaze. Obsidian lashes grasp my virgin being. Smiling, sipping cinnamon cream cafe, raised and loved by Mamazita Freeland Dad. Creamy, oily pleasures, pressed free fruit. Fill lip tongues, wanton. Posibilidades, sabrazas, verdes, suaves. Velvety, speeding, crystalline starlight. Heavens, ebony, silken layered garnets. Moonlights, breathy aspirations, rising in brilliant swirled, hued scarlet. Pressing, shredding, tender dreams, stain-soaked, flowery, blooming pillows. Drooping long, willow-branched arms, hands, resound, thrashers, smacking kiss. Calling out its harsh, hissing sounds, a blow to its whistled songs, sparking, giggling bubbles rise up in my mysterious spring. Cripe, low, cut, flowing blouse, exposed, luscious, milky cleavage, draped, silver chains, red coral, turquoise, fundal, stroke, sun-heated, bouncing, mamila. Mimente baila, Conconcias, nes de los, lines antiguas de mi Marte. Enslaved from anger's anguish, pressed upon bloodlines, I sway, yo bailo, I sway, end poem. And what a beautiful write by Lu Yu this is. And Pam, can you comment, please?
Oh, absolutely. The amazing imagery and metaphors all the way through. A beautiful and emotive rite. I like how it speaks on the idea of finding your own inner strength after tragedy. I really like calling out its harsh hissing sounds, a blow to its whistled songs, sparking, giggling bubbles rise up in my mysterious springs. And also this smiling, sipping cinnamon cream cafe raised unloved by Mamacita Filia Dal, creamy, oily pleasures, please press tree fruits. It really kind of speaks on the idea of also of, coming into your own with sensuality and finding your own confidence. So excellent write and very well done.
Awesome. Awesome comment there, Pam. And Laura, your thoughts?
I'm sorry. Laurent's going to ask you to come right back to him.
Okay. And Phil, a few thoughts from you?
Well, I think that this is a beautifully penned piece by Lu Yu. As always, she's, yes, it's just beautifully done. Wonderful take on prompt 8. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise? But I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. That's just such an impactful line in Maya Angelou's work, because you don't expect it, It's kind of like, hits you like upside the head, like, oh, And I think that it was a great line for Lou to choose because it suits the work that she does well. And I think that it was just beautifully beautifully put together and a wonderful, wonderful job. So thank you, Lou. It was a great piece and nicely done. I think Maya might have liked it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's very deep, this piece. Yeah. And, you know, very, very, very deep, profound, and very, like, passionate, like Blue Yu writes. You know, she has a unique style, sensuality in there, and, you know, but also you feel the all the emotion and even the anger, you know, and also great courage. And so, yeah, I think Maya Angelou would have loved this piece. And excuse me for the Spanish, Luyu, my gracious. But, yeah, I would have loved to hear Luyu read this in her voice. And, Laurent, are you ready to comment, my dear?
I'll never be truly ready, but yes. Smiling, sipping cinnamon cream cafe. Raised on love by Mamacita Frialdad, creamy, oily pleasures, pressed tree fruit, fill lips, tongues, wanton, posibilidades, sabrosas, verdes, suaves. I got to say, I've long admired Luyu's ability to tantalize the palate with imagery of fruits and creams, each line a sensual mouthful of words that softly electrify the reader as he imagines his tongue enveloping those pressed tree fruits, rich flavors flowing through his being. Wowzers.
Well said there, Laura. And where are we? Where are we going next? Okay, so I'm going to pick up the next piece. And... Put it in. Sorry. Okay. Whoops. Come on. Okay. And this piece is by Cherry Boy, and it's Dewdrops. And Laurent, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
Dewdrops, do tell. I've walked through fire to reach you and somehow made it through. The waters of the sea and the sweet drops of dew on the blades of my life. You're the words on my heart. Now we're never apart because I kiss you in thought and hold you in mind. But I know that you're gone. You're still surely mine. Between the heavens and me, you're all that I see. And at night with the moon, I dream to reach you and I wake up too soon. But you rest in my heart and play with my soul. So I'll ask you to dance so that I can hold my true love tonight and speak what's untold. So let me dream sweet, always keeping you near. Now I'm falling asleep, and I'll look for you, dear. End poem.
Ah, such a sweet poem, you know, from sweet, tender poem from the... And I love the... Love the title, Dewdrops. Sounds so refreshing and so you know, dewdrops are just something they're like, I don't know, sensitive, and they're like I can't find the words, but anyway. But this is just amazing. The words of my heart, now we're never apart, because I kiss you in thought and hold you in mind. Though I know that you're gone, you're still surely mine. Great rhyming all through. Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautiful. It really tugs at the heartstrings. I like how it speaks on continuing to love someone who is gone from your life. I especially like between the heavens and me, you're all that I see. And at night with the moon, I dream to reach you. And I wake up too soon, but you rest in my heart and play with my soul. Wonderful lines and very well done.
amazing comment. And Phil, your thoughts?
No, I thought this was a great poem, great rhyme and meter throughout. I love the intro stanza. I walked through fire to meet you and somehow made it through the waters of the sea and the sweet drops of dew on the blades of my life. What a wonderful way to begin this poem. You know, it goes on from there about, between the heavens and me, you're all that I see. You know, all these wonderful, loving lines. And I just think that was an excellent place to lead into this, because it makes you want to know where you're going from here. I think that, I thought that it had a lot of wonderful traits to it, you know, wonderful, wonderful words all the way through the whole poem. So definitely a sweet and loving poem. So great job. Great job, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for that great comment, Phil. And Laura, your thoughts?
I was really struck by the tone of this. These are the words of an open, honest heart who uses relatively simple words to address complex emotions of love quite successfully. So much of it is in the tone, the gentle, loving tone that really seeps into every stanza. So I ask you to dance so that I can hold my true love tonight and speak once untold. There's a real eloquence in the direct simplicity of the conveyed emotion that I've got to admire. You know, sometimes we can over-embellish, we can overwrite, and lose the true essence of what it is we want to say. I think it comes through very clearly here. Lovely piece.
Thank you, Laurent. And I have our next piece up by Linda Evans. And Pam, if you can give that a read, please.
I would be happy to. All right, let's see here. Last Night by Linda Evans. Even in my dreams, I'm lonely, abandoned, stranded, left to my own devices to find my way home, where no one and nothing waits to greet me anymore except silence. In silence, I sleep. In silence, at daybreak, I awake and home.
Wonderful read, Pam. And she wrote to the prompt, no one can make it alone. And, you know, you feel really, this is a really like a haunting feeling in this piece of, you know, just, you know, being, that feeling of being so alone. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think this was a wonderful brevity addressing that prompt. You know, left to my own devices to find my way home, but no one and nothing waits to greet me anymore except silence. In silence I sleep, in silence at daybreak I awake. It's a sad and somewhat haunting poem to just be so isolated, because that's what it gives me. It gives me that feeling of isolation. And I think that Linda Evans did a wonderful job. And thank you for sharing very much. Great taking the time.
Thank you, Phil. And we have our last poem, the last poem up. And, Laurent, if you can give that a read for us, please.
Yes, I will. Nice timing, by the way. All right, this is called Weekend by Evan Eric Blackwater. They ought to study me on Saturday night, snugly wrapped in blankets with soda on my tongue and Chinese food on my lips, the white jasmine rice clinging to every nibble and bite, all of it a study in flavors and contrasts, an outlier in my space. Worrying about the next bill, next cost, next job. But shoved, tugged to the side, my eyes glued to the 72-inch screen. They ought to study me on Saturday night, a caged specimen that paces back and forth, sings at the top of my lungs,
when that one song comes on that I don't know all the words to, like a wild sleepover of 13-year-old girls, but instead just a party of one. No bra in the freezer, yet. Hobbling on completely sober ankles and knees, hating the taste of alcohol, not a drop in sight. They ought to study me on Saturday night, arms, legs disjointed and spread akimbo, spilling across my couch the mountain of pillows, stains on my fingers, the TV reflection tracing my lashes as I watch that scene that should not provoke such a response. Cars and fire across the screen. Nary a kiss in sight. How shallow is it that stoked violence brings me relief that soft love cannot? They ought to study me on Saturday night, sprawled on the floor, tangled hair strangling my shoulders as I stretch for the remote, chest aching, thighs screaming, why do I do this to myself? Fingers twitch to switch the channel, surrendering halfway, hand curled around a sprained 34-year-old knee joint that creaks as if it's 80. Years of wear and hinge breaking it before its time. They ought to study me on Saturday night, broken, shattered, tear-stained, jagged in secondhand shorts, a scrap picture of self-loathing, here splayed, carpet dragged, swollen calves, socks scrunched, and its hiccuped sighs that undo my throat and tongue, begging yet again to speak, fix the clog in the lungs made out of rocks, sandpaper, shaken salt, and chipped shells and pinpricks. They ought to study me on Saturday night. End poem.
Wow, what a great read. You know, what an amazing, I didn't realize, of course, Yvonne is a girl. I should have had Phil read this right. But anyway, great right read there, Laura. And what an amazing poem, you know, on just being, upset. I think she's really upset with herself. And, like many of us, instead of going out and doing things, or, you know, we just stay inside in front of that TV and, waste our life away. But yeah, what an amazing, amazing write this is. I just love the imagery all throughout, and it sounded so sincere. And Pam, what did you think?
It definitely had powerful imagery and metaphors. It was a strong write on what it's like to deal with a body and a mind that you constantly feel like it's falling apart. So amazing write all the way through, and very well done.
Well said there, Pam. And Phil, and I'll get Laura to comment. Laura?
Yes, indeed. This is amazing. It's a piece of rolling, quiet thunder. The language striking like lightning. It offers an interval of images that coalesce into you on Saturday night. I love this piece.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing writing indeed. And Phil, your thoughts. Hello, Phil? Whoops, is Phil not back? Maybe Phil isn't back yet. So,
close it out, dear.
I just want to thank everybody who wrote for the show. A tribute to one of my favorite poets, and Maya Angelou. I was just thrilled to read all the writes that, you know, her poetry and quotes inspired. And thank you so much for writing, everybody. Thank you, Laurent, for phoning in and hanging out with us all night. And yeah, thanks to you know, to you, Pam, and Phil, for everything you do, showing me the ropes and putting up with me. So yeah, so good night, everybody, and have a great rest of the week.
Good night, everyone. Thanks, Naomi. Great show. Wonderful prompt.